Introduce our first speaker, Nanette S. from North Carolina.
Family, my name is Nanette and I'm an addict. First, I'd like to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac regional area for asking me to come and share. And then I'd like to take a moment of silence so I can let God in so I can get me out of the way. Again, family, my name is Nanette Lunatic. And the topic is, why are we here? And what I know about why I'm here is that I got here out of desperation. I got here because I no longer could control my feelings. It was like I had members who were in Narcotics Anonymous before I got here, and they used to come in the house, and they used to always be smiling and bubbly and stuff, and at the particular time, wasn't nothing funny because I was still in my addiction. I didn't understand what they were doing, but I know they was happy when they came in, you know. So one day, I asked, which was my mother, to take me to a meeting with her, and she took me to a woman's meeting, and I cried, like, because up in New York, we have two-hour meetings. I cried 2 hours in that meeting from the beginning to the end. And what I know is that, what I know today is that there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of identification. Even when I didn't want to identify, there was a lot of identification in that meeting. And from that point on, I've been here. And that's been since 94. But I want to read something real quick. This says, we use drugs to cover our feelings and did whatever was necessary to get drugs. When the drugs wore off, we realized that we still had the same problems, and they were becoming worse. And I said that to say, because when I got here, I couldn't identify when I first got here. I always, like, picked at your story, and not necessarily picked, but, like, I didn't do that, so, like, I'm not as bad as you. You know what I'm saying? To only not hear my story for a while, but eventually I was able to identify. But for a long time, it was like I didn't feel like I fit in. Because of my own insecurities, I found out that today, you know, but I didn't fit in. I didn't want to fit in. That's what it was. I didn't want to fit in. I didn't even want to realize that I was an addict until, like, you know, they had that little paper that all the things you're supposed to check. And then I realized, like, most of them, like, no, all of them was yes, you know. And even still then, I didn't want to be an addict. But I got here, and after a lot of pain and real justifiable behavior on my part, because I had a house, because I worked every day, and car payments, and, you know, kids, and they were clean, and I was all right. What are y'all talking about? No, I'm fine. Y'all just don't understand. I'm really fine, you know. I still couldn't identify. So I'm like, you know, I don't know what they talking about. I really am fine, you know, until I had to get a sponsor. And I got a sponsor, and the first time it was out of, because everybody else had it, you know. And then I got a sponsor, and I started doing some work. And once I began that work, she made me see why I was here. Because there was a lot of behaviors that I had that I didn't realize was abnormal. I thought everything was fine. You know, they fed, they bathed every night, hair was done. You know, that's supposed to be all right. You know, that's what everybody else do. But what I realized is, like, emotionally I wasn't there for them. Emotionally I wasn't there for the husband either. I wasn't there for them. Not emotionally. You know, the daily stuff that you know, maintenance stuff that we do. But I wasn't there emotionally, you know, and I learned that by doing step work. This sponsor taught me a whole bunch of stuff, and what I know is that I began to feel guilty even with her, because I felt like she was teaching me some stuff that my mother probably already taught me, but I lost the insight through the process of using, and then, like, she was teaching me how to do this stuff once again. And what I know is, like, I'm real grateful for her. Because I came in here, and I share this a lot with the size, like, 10 shoes, 9 shoes, because I didn't want to wear the 11s that I wear. You know what I'm saying? She was like, you can wear the Levi's, honey. It still looks good. But what I'm talking about is self-esteem. I'm talking about being responsible for myself. You know what I'm saying? She taught me that stuff. She taught me that I don't have to, like, be a part of and do what I need to do just to be with y'all and get with y'all. I don't need to do that. It was a process. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened. You know what I'm saying? She taught me that, like, I'm a unique in a certain way, but I'm not. I can't, like, differentiate myself so much that I'm, like, different from y'all. You know? Because, again, even a lot of behaviors, I was like, well, I didn't do that. What are you talking about? Yeah, I did it. He just was out by five. You know, nobody seen it. Same thing. You know, but I justified the behavior because I wasn't standing outside. You know, so then I was trying to figure out, like, why am I really here? I'm here because, like, I need those behaviors to change. And through this process, they have changed. You know, I need to say that. Does anybody have their mirrors on them? I got here today, and I opened up my packet, right? And this mirror was in here. I opened up this mirror, and I looked at it, and I, like, started crying because, for real, I am a crybaby. But it was like, I am that miracle today. If you could have seen this little girl who came in here so scared and couldn't even open her mouth without, like, deep crying, just, like, pain type of stuff, like, you really would be amazed. You know, I go back home, and they're like, gosh, whoa. Like, you doing the thing, ain't you? Like, how about that's what I was taught? Y'all taught me what to do. I continued to do what I needed to do, and I stay here. You know, that's the big girl stuff that we learn in this process. You know, it's not about, like, always succumbing to because of. You know, I got some integrity today. I didn't even know what the word meant when I got here. You know, there was a lot of words that I thought I knew until she said, go look them up. And it wasn't what I thought they meant. You know, so I learned to change a whole bunch of things, like attitudes and behaviors. Because I came here with the cold face, don't even come over here. How about that? Don't come over here. But, like, I was really saying, please come over here because I didn't know how to go come and talk to you. So when I see that on people, like, I go and hug them. Because I know, because I was there. Like, don't come means please come because I don't know how to. I was taught that in here, you know, I was taught how to, like, socialize. I was taught to troop on the road if I need to by myself, which I do a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's my responsibility. My recovery is my responsibility. It ain't nobody else's responsibility. It's mine. And what I know is I have to do some work in this process to stay here. So I'm gonna succumb to those attitudes and behaviors that I display every now and again because they ain't gone. They just arrested a day at a time. You know, and I know that. But why I'm here, because the feelings of degradation, the emptiness, the void, the less than, the self-esteem, the self-worth, there's a lot of reasons why I'm here. And I continue to work on that with a sponsor doing step work. It's real important to do step work. It's real important, I'm going to say it again, to do step work. Because we can come up in here and sit up in here and do what we do, and it's okay. I'm going to love you anyway because that's why I'm here. See, that's what I was taught. I was taught to let you do what you need to do and me love you unconditionally no matter what. But that took a minute, too, because, see, I thought I was in control of some stuff. Yeah, I thought I was in control, too, for a minute, to only realize that I wasn't in control of nothing and I didn't need to be God anymore. And how about, like, when I surrendered that even, there was a whole bunch of, like stuff, like, lifted off of me. But coming in here thinking that I had it going on and I had it all together and to realize I didn't, that was also an awakening for me. Because you couldn't tell me I didn't have it going on. Come on now. But I got in here and realized that I didn't. There was a lot of stuff that I really, truly didn't know. But I didn't want y'all to know I didn't know it, though. You know, because, you know, I was taught that you don't let them see you sweat, you know. But what I know today is y'all can see me sweat. Y'all can see me cry because I'm going to tell on me. You ain't got to guess. You ain't got to talk and whisper. Ask me and I'll tell you. That's it. You know, ain't no secrets. I realize that. Like, when there's a whole bunch of secrets, like, you gotta hide and you gotta, you know, tell another lie and I ain't trying to keep up. My memory is real short. I can't I can't try to keep up with what I told you yesterday. So I keep it straight. When I say what I say, you tell me, yeah, okay. You know, I have to keep it that simple. Because I know how to complicate something like real little, like speaking. I woke up a couple of days ago, like, really panicking, and I was like, what's really going on? But I had to go to a meeting and share because, like, it was the self-worth came back. Like, you've been here for a minute, but you still feeling like you don't have nothing to give? Oh, yes, you do, and you know you do. But see, the disease wanted to tell me, you think you going over there to speaking, you know. But what I know is I do have some experience, strength, and hope. I do have some unconditional love, you know. And someone told me, which I realized after the fact, right, by somebody from my area, he said, like, why you don't want to shine? Why you won't let yourself shine? Because, like, you've grown. You've done some stuff in this process. I'm back in school after 23 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm raising my children. I'm doing what I need to do for myself to the best of my ability. Not yours. Mine's. You know? And I'm scared to let myself shine. And that was the truth because, see, that's what it was, but I just couldn't explain it. Because I was taught, you know, you can't shine. You don't shine. You don't make yourself better than somebody else. But, like, how about y'all taught me that, like, there's some stuff that I know up in here today. And how about I can speak about it? I can talk about it. I can say something. I don't have to be quiet all the time. No, speak up. Because, see, I'm not used to doing that. I'll let it go on, you know. But I don't have to do that today, you know. While I'm here, to grow, to continue to grow. Because, see, once I stop growing, like, I'm walking backwards. Once I stop talking to my sponsor, I'm walking backwards. Once I stop sharing in the meeting the exact nature of my wrongs, I'm going backwards. Not yours. Not yours. That's not what I'm there for. You know, I'm there to share what's going on with me and try to find a solution. Not just come and share and dump. Find a solution. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I do know. That's a lie. I do know. I've learned a whole bunch in this process. And what I do know is that I continue to show up in spite of. I continue to walk through the fears. You know, I continue to talk to my sponsor even when I feel shameful or guilty of something. You know, and I continue to come in here and share with y'all. The exact nature. Not around the street and down the corner and, you know, y'all trying to figure it out. What's she talking about? The exact nature. Because y'all can't help me if I don't share the exact nature. You know, so that's what I do. You know, I have 5 children. I have 2 sets. The grown ones, 24, 20, and 22. And my troopers, 14 and 13. You know, and what I do is I continue on a daily basis to do the best I can. You know, and it gets real sometimes, believe me. It gets real. Because I feel like sometimes, like, I got the world on my shoulders, but, like, y'all taught me to easy does it, to you ain't got to control nothing. They got a God. You show them some stuff. So don't worry. Let it be. You know what I'm saying? They just going through what you did. I can't stop their process. That was real hard for me. I worked on that for over a year. Me and my sponsor, we worked on that. Just letting them go and loving them. Like I do y'all. I do it to y'all. Y'all come and step on my toes. And I love y'all unconditionally. So why can't I go home and do the same thing? Y'all said practice it in all my affairs. Not just in the room. At home too. Because that's where the proof is. When you leave out of here. That's where the proof shows up at. Whether you going home and yelling and screaming and all off of the hook. You know, so while I'm here, so I can see the same face here and the same face at home. I don't want to be no 2 different people. I want to be the same person. You know, I want them to see me as I am. All time, just like y'all see me. That takes work. That takes talking to a sponsor. I'm going back to that takes doing step work. That takes getting to the exact nature of our wrongs. Because it becomes this, in this process, it becomes a point where, yes, it is a self-centered disease. And yes, I am self-centered. I'm keeping that on me. But it comes a point when I need to work on me in order to get better. How do I get better if I don't work on me? If I don't focus on me, how do I get better? So it becomes a point where I have to get self-centered in order to do something different. It was a process. It didn't happen overnight. You know, it took some work. It took some stand up and walk through some fear type of stuff. It took some suggestions, and sometimes the suggestions didn't work. But it took going back and still trying another one. I remember doing that plenty of days. I remember talking to my sponsor on the phone and going there and talk to my husband and be like, blah, 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 blah. And she said, no, not I said, because see, I wasn't there yet. And the reason why I say that, because some of us are here because, like there's some character defects and some assets that we mixed up that we don't know how to use, because I know I didn't when I got here. She showed me how to, like, speak up for yourself today. But you don't have to be arrogant about it either. But speak up. Don't let people take advantage of you. There's some stuff we must do in here. There's some stuff we must do. And there's a way to do it. Because I ain't trying to put nobody on my eighth step again. I'm there right now. And I know my truths and who needs to go on there. I know who I've character assassinated sitting in the meeting and they sharing. I said, my truths. You might not know it, but I know what I've done. And for me, getting all of that stuff out, all of that stuff, reservations, talks about it in there. That robs us, and robs me, not only of my peace, but of me just trying to be able to come in here again. I'm going back to the guilt and shame again and tell y'all what's really going on. And I need to do that. And where I'm at with, as far as what people think today, I do care what you think, but it's really not that important as you used to be. I do care what you think. But it's not that important. It doesn't overwhelm me anymore. Like, again, it comes a process where the big girl got to come up and say, okay, what are you going to do? You going to succumb to what everybody else is doing? Or you going to handle yours? I have to handle mine. Because when I leave out of here, I'm still with me. I'm with me with the decisions I make. I'm with me with the behaviors that I practice. I'm with me. Ain't none of y'all with me, and I've developed a conscience through this process. And that conscience doesn't allow me to sit here and think that I ain't harming somebody else, or I haven't harmed somebody else. No, I don't go tell a person that I was sitting there character assassinating them in my head. But I put them on my A step. And me and my sponsor talk about it. But there's seven more steps before that. That'll help us see why we're here. Because each individual person has a different process on the reason why they're here. I'm here because of feelings of loneliness, feelings of not having a friendship or friendships, and not even knowing how to be a friend, for that matter. Because I didn't when I got here. I didn't know the definition of that either. I learned that in here also, how to be a friend. And no, my definition might not be your definition of a friendship, but I know what it means to me. I learned how to tell the truth and be honest to the best of my ability. I know when I came up here, I thought I was being honest. I used to share some stuff that I thought was honest. Until, like, somebody says that to me in my area, too, I still got smoke in my ears. As the years go by, it gets clearer and clearer. No, it wasn't as honest as I could have been. But it's as honest as I am today. So, again, while I'm here, to change, to get better, to do something different, to feel different. I don't want to feel like I did when I came up here. Because I remember sitting in a room of thousands of people and feeling like I was there by myself. But that's because I didn't have the skills I needed to stay here. I didn't have the skills. And I didn't want y'all to know I didn't have the skills. But once I walked through the fear and started letting some folks know who I was, because there's some troopers that'll love you unconditionally no matter what. And I got some of those troopers. And I just held on. And I cried. And I cried. And I cried. Because that's what I do. And I share. And I cry. And I share. And I cry. Because, see, I got to get it out of me. Look, what y'all do with it after I get it out of here, that's up to y'all. Because y'all done already thought of some stuff anyway. And they added some stuff to it, too. So, what's going to prohibit me from telling my truth? I can't let the guilt and the shame and because of who I think y'all are, because y'all addicts just like I am. Ain't no big eyes or little U's and all that stuff. I thought there was, though, because, you know, there was always the, you know. Come on, we all know. But what I know is that we all have character defects. We all have some assets. If you focus on the assets of every person instead of all the defects all the time, you'll be able to love them unconditionally no matter what they do or say. That's why I'm here. That's what I was taught. It wasn't easy at first, but today, my sponsors will tell you. My sponsor tell you. You'll never know that I don't like you. Never. Never. You would never know. Because I'm going to love you until I love you. Because, see, again, it ain't about y'all. It's about me. Because most of the time, when I ain't loving y'all, there's something that y'all doing. Either I can't do no more, and I think you shouldn't be practicing it. Here I go. You know what I'm saying? There's three going back to me. It ends and begins with me. It ends and begins with me. I can point the finger if I want to justify the behavior, but it ends and begins with me. Whether it's the feeling of self-worth, self-esteem, lonely, whatever it is, it ends and begins with me. And if I can tell myself my truth and get to the exact nature, then I can get through. I got to be willing to go through, though. That's the thing, because I thought I was going through. I said I was working, car payment, bought a house even in the process. Taking care of babies, everything. I thought I was doing the thing. No, I was maintaining. I was doing what I saw. But that wasn't the best of my ability. That wasn't like heartfelt stuff. It was routine. Get up every morning, do the same thing. You know? No, I hug my kids today. None of them don't leave without saying they love me in hugs. My mother started in Alcoholics Anonymous about 14, 15 years ago. She began to hug. I'm talking about a process. It don't just start with us. I'm talking about a process. Each one teach one. You got to be willing to open up and teach somebody. That's humility. That's being humble. That's getting outside of yourself. It's not all me, 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 me all the time. Y'all taught me that here. Because it was always about me. Didn't you know I was the victim? I was married for 18 years. I was the... Don't you know? But how about I participated in that? Let's get to the exact nature once again. You need to tell your truths. I participated in that. It wasn't no one person thing. Whatever happened, I participated. I had a choice. I didn't know I had a choice until I started working some steps. I started working some steps, and I realized, how about you can say no? We were just talking about this today. You can say no and let them be mad. They need to feel that. How about that? I used to be so scared. Just say no. So that's why I have all these insecurities, because I didn't trust my own self. See, I can't put it on them. It was me I didn't trust. It was me I didn't trust, because I didn't know what I was going to do or not going to do. Because, see, if I didn't speak up, then you took advantage. If I spoke up, you might have did anything. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Just fear, fear. Everything was fear-based. But what I know today is when I feel fearful, I run to a meeting. I don't care, because I'm full-time in school right now. I'll run up in that meeting, and I got to be to school. The meeting's over in a few minutes. I'll run up in there. My name is Nanette Mnatic. And this is what's going on. And I love y'all, and I'm going back to class. I have to do me. It's not about coming in here and oh, she didn't share the left. Thanks for sharing. Because I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming, so I hope you do. I'm going to hope you do. You know, I'm so proud of my own self. How about that? I'm so proud. I got here today. I was like, I started crying. I was so overwhelmed. Like I'm doing some stuff that I, behind my wildest dreams. Maryland, this is my first time here. Beyond my wildest dreams. I remember coming to my first meeting, someone sharing, I said, like, I want to do that one day. I'm like, I got a chance today.
Got
I don't need no honey. I got to let it flow. I ain't blocking my blessings. Let it flow. I ain't ashamed today. This is just who I am. You either accept me or you don't. Because I'm going to love you. I said it. I'm going to love you anyway. It don't even matter. Because that's why I'm here. Because that's what I need. For you to love me unconditionally. So that's what I give. That's what I give. In spite of. So I keep coming. I keep showing up. I keep sharing. I keep coming when it's possible for me to come. Not for you to tell me when I need to come. Because what I learned in this process too, y'all taught me how to do some stuff. So I don't need to take no hostage seats. I need to come show up and show the newcomer that it does work. We grow up. We change. Beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond. And I, they used to say that. And I used to be like, that is so crazy up in here. Beyond your wildest dreams. And when you get that feeling inside and can't explain it, then you know, it's there. It's there. I got a God that's loving, caring, unconditional love, in spite of, forgives me, I can't even count. See, I ain't perfect. As much as I want to be and try to be, I'm not perfect. I step on some toes. I make some mistakes. I just said I character assassinated in my head. Yeah. But see, I know that. I can say that because that's what I do. And as long as I keep telling me the truth, I'm going to be all right. But we need to, and I'm going back to we because it says, why are we here? We need to love folks up in here, y'all. That's what we're here for. Because all of us are really here looking for someone to love us unconditionally. In spite of who we are, what we do, and everything. That's all we're really here for. Because we want love unconditionally. Oh, let me keep it on me. That's why I'm here. You know, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for my mother. I'm grateful for my ex-husband. I'm grateful for my brother, you know, whatever choices they choose to make. I'm grateful that they showed me that I could smile again. Because I just knew I was going to die doing what I was doing. I didn't think that I would ever feel like this. I didn't even think I could even speak up to people. Because I came here looking like this. That's why I got so many shoes in my closet. That's how I had to put that. That's how I came here, just like this. But like, I can look you in the eye today. I can talk to y'all, you know, and not feel shamed. Because if somebody might be feeling shamed, it's something that I share, and like, You giving them a door to be able to come in here and share it so we can get solutions, not just come up here and share and take hostages. You know, but it's a process. Need a sponsor. Need an HP of your understanding. I got one. I got a sponsor too. You need a network. You need some people to talk to. I got that too. Men and women. I'm here up. No, in here. For real. I'm trooping, I'm telling you. But that's what I do. That's what I do. Do I fall short? Yeah. Am I human? Yeah. But I got some integrity today. I got some principles. I have some laws in my life. I have some boundaries. I didn't even know what that meant when I got here. Boundaries? You say and do whatever you want to me. And most of the time, I come back and you do it again, too, until something clicked, and I'll be like, hey, they done did it 3 times. When you gonna say something? And I was so scary, I wouldn't even say nothing. So I'm thankful for Narcotics Anonymous. It showed me how to be a mother to my children. I didn't know how to talk when I got here. Everything was yelling, screaming, because that they would move faster. So it'd be done, finished. I don't raise my voice. If I raise my voice today, they stand to attention. Because I talk to them just like I'm talking to you. I have that relationship with them, especially the older ones. I have that relationship. I let them know what it is. Because that's what y'all told me. If I tell them a lie, they're going to go out there looking for that lie. So I need to tell them what's really going on. I need to tell my girls, you need to find out about their mama and the daddies. Find out how the mama treated the daddy. Yeah, you need to find out some stuff. You don't just, because y'all taught me in here to investigate, take people's inventory. Because if we don't, you might be in a situation that, you know, you thought was one thing. Because, like, for real, the representative always shows up. Till we get comfortable. Then the real person comes and we be like, I didn't see that before. Wow, dang, I didn't know that was really going on. That's my experience. So I don't just do anything. I there's some stuff we must do. I have to. I don't like pain. No. I had enough of it. I like this feeling. I like this joy. I like the calmness. I like the peace. I don't want to be sad anymore. Because I am joy. I am free today. I am free. And that's the way I want to stay. So that means I need to continue to do some work. I need to continue to do some work. If you knew, get a sponsor. I know it might seem a little bossy or whatever for the beginning, but, you know, when the humility kicks in and stuff will work out. It's a process. It's trial and error. You need to know that. Just like when we was out on the street, that was trial and error too. Let's not get it twisted. It's trial and error. But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. Read your literature. Especially sponsors, before you get a sponsor, read it. And just keep coming and tell your truths. What was taught to me also was to go on a meeting. Because like we judge people, that's what we do. Close your eyes and listen to the speaker. You'll get a message from everybody if you do that. No matter how you think they may be living. Close your eyes. You'll get a message of hope if you're listening clearly with an open mind. Because we all got some hope. We all have some hope. We do. We all got lights, too, that eventually will shine if we let them. You just got to let them. But, I'm just truly grateful to be here. I'm really, really honored, you know, that I was asked to speak. And what I know is that I'm just going to keep growing. And I'm going to keep loving y'all in spite of. Thanks for letting me share.
Our second speaker is going to be Mark from Connecticut.
Hey, I'm Mark from Connecticut. Why are we here? We here, I hope to continue to carry the torch that people before us did. I know I'm here because there was people before me. You know what I'm saying? Who, regardless of how many times I came in and out that door, regardless of how many times I got that white keychain, you know what I'm saying? Year after year, that they didn't judge me. I ain't saying everybody didn't. All right, like you said, it was a few people. You got some real ones in here. Not everybody is here for the same reason. You know? But for the grace of God, he spared me. You know what I'm saying? The God of my understanding spared me and allowed me to go through what I had to go through till I got to a point where I was ready to stay here and to be here. You know, I can remember going to meetings and somebody would say, "Welcome back." And I'd say, "Who said I was back? You know, I need a break. I'm tired. Shit. Next person that come along after this meeting, I may get a hit." You know? It wasn't that I didn't want to stay clean. You know? It talks about things and it's reading why we're here. I was incapable. I was incapable of facing life on its own terms. You know what I'm saying? Another word that talks about the inability, unable. I saw a T-shirt where a guy said I had the right to remain silent. And on the back it just said I just had the inability to do it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just ain't know when to shut my mouth up. That's come along before, too. You know? I also want to thank the convention committee. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I was invited. I think I was just, like, told I was going to be speaking. And I'll leave that at that. But I am grateful. I am grateful for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. Because you know what? This journey, as she said, the blessings that have been bestowed upon me as a result of not using and just putting one foot in front of the other are just beyond my wildest imagination, my wildest dreams. Had you told me when I first stumbled into my first meeting, and let me say first, my first treatment center, the first treatment center I went to was in April of 1986. It was up in a place called Spofford Hall in New Hampshire, you know, a real posh. We had room service, stuff like that. All right. And I learned something about the disease. I learned some book stuff, you know. And I heard some of what was being said at some of the meetings, because, you know, in treatment, they throw different things at you. They throw different fellowships at you. You know, when you hear you're going to be given this toolbox and you need to do something with it when you leave here. You know, so they said, when you first get out, catch a meeting. You know, no real instruction on how to read the meeting schedule. You know, and I'll never forget, on the way home, and I was still married at the time. My very first meeting, after my very first treatment center, and I was going to a meeting, I stumbled up into the meeting. It was in the basement of a church, and it was a gay meeting, you know? And it was my opportunity at that point to have nothing in common with nobody in that room. You know what I'm saying? It was my opportunity to go back upstairs 5 minutes later and get back in the car with my wife and said, yeah, I can smoke that joint. You know what I'm saying? Because all she wanted at the time was, you know, just leave that cocaine alone. You could still smoke weed with me, right? Needless to say, that was April of 1986. Okay? So flash forward to April of 1997, and I find myself sitting around yet another treatment center. This time it was at a place called Lebanon Pines in Connecticut, you know what I'm saying? And it was one of those places where you had to have, at one point, like 300 detoxes just to get in there. This was like called the last house on the left. It was out in the woods, you know what I'm saying? You don't leave away from this place. You're scared to leave away from this place. It's too far of a damn walk. All right. Now, mind you, I didn't have this physique that I got right now. I was a little thinner. You know what I'm saying? Because between 1986 and 1997, I had 11 years of in and out, coming in and out of these rooms. You know what I'm saying? Different people have been put in my life during that time. I mean, I did everything what it talks about in his readings, man. You know, it got to a point where, okay, you know, I wanted to save my marriage at the time. I wanted to be there for my daughter because my father was never there for me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to keep doing these things I'm doing, but I'm doing them. You know, and then I get a moment of clarity. That's like, you know, I think about 30 days, something like that happened. You know, you might be able to hold a thought together, and you want to play Superman. You know, this is still while I'm in treatment now. You know, by the grace of God, we had some H&I come in. But, again, I mean, I was one of those that, you know, I had a little bit of something, you know, a couple things turning in here, and they just... They worked against me. You know what I'm saying? Intelligence is not a requirement for this thing. You know what I'm... You really. You know, somebody told me a lot of times, you know, I was just... I mind-fucked myself. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, think about it. There go half a day. You know what I'm saying? I get lost on that one. Of hearing and not hearing. You know what I'm saying? I was good at reading and interpreting. I could call it back. I could tell you how it worked and why it worked and what you should be doing to make it work. You know what I'm saying? Because in between 1986 and 1997, I had put together 17 inpatient treatment centers. I think 36 different halfway houses. No, detoxes. There was some 20 halfway houses, five or six psychiatric hospitals, jail in six different states. You know? In each of those places that I ended up, I found myself in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I found myself in other fellowships too. There was always, God always put somebody in my life that made a mark. You know? And that person made those suggestions and told me, you know, what I should do, the suggestions. And I had people that straight up told me, you know, do this, do that, or you're going to die. Do this, do that, or you're going to die. I remember, I guess when I met Paul, I was Alexandria Detox. You know, and I woke up, you know, from the back of the room, and I heard some fool screaming, if you don't do 90 and 90, you're going to die. The hell he talking about? If you don't get a sponsor and work the steps, you're going to die. This nigga done lost his mind. You know, and I listened some more, and the more he screamed, he might have a point somewhere in there. You know what I'm saying? That attraction, I don't know if I was attracted to the fact I thought he was just crazy as hell or that he knew something, but it was there, you know? And that's happened time and time again, you know? It talks about us seeking help in different ways. And different things. You know, I talked about the psychiatric hospitals. You know, that was real easy. I was one of those addicts. If I was on fire and, you know, I couldn't get a bed, I knew if I said I was going to kill myself or the VA had to give me a bed. It was usually in a psych hospital, you know. But wake up, if you're in treatment, it's psychiatric anyway. You know what I'm saying? I remember doing a couple of the Christian programs. I remember, you know, I forget on one of my runs, it started out in Hartford. It started out as a hit in Hartford, and it ended up in Atlanta, you know, with somebody else's vehicle. And I made my way through D.C. and said hey to a few folk. You know what I'm saying? I think they gave me a sandwich or two and said, keep moving. You know? And I ended up in Atlanta. And nice program. Met again, God placed some people in my life. You know what I'm saying? Right then. You know, just before I was, you know, going to be killed. Because I was incapable of taking my own life. And there was a lot of misery had set in at this time. There was a lot of hopelessness had set in, you know. After doing this thing over and over and over again, you begin to wonder, can you get it? Can I do this? That hopelessness starts to set in, you know. And I remember, I don't know, you know, I'm one of those addicts. I didn't need a reason to get high. You know what I'm saying? If you put $10 in my hand and my stomach said, brrr, you know, and don't let me fart, you know, if I did that, because see, crack cocaine was my drug of choice. And when that happened, you know what I'm talking, you got to lock it. I ain't talking about the song. Yo, that meant for this addict, it's time to get high. I don't care what the consequence is. I don't care if there's jail hanging over my head. I don't care if it meant if it meant getting kicked out of where I was living. I don't care if it meant that, whatever, whatever the consequences. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the consequences. I'm gonna get high. And I had no power against it when that happened. You know, and I can remember we had revival, and I was in this church program. There's about 14 of us, a couple of dynamic ministers ran it too, man. You know what I'm saying? And they found out that I got high, and they grabbed me, and this is my story. You know what I'm saying? And they pulled me in a room, and they pulled everybody out, you know, out the revival. It's a church of about 4,000 people now, right in the middle of Atlanta. And they pulled us in a back room, and they commenced, and they commenced to praying and laying hands on me, and we crying, and it's snot coming out, and it's sweating, and we doing all this shit, and excuse my language, and the smoke clear, and everybody catch their breath, and he said, now, Brother Mark, what are we gonna do? I said, give me my money. I'm going to get a hit. You know what I'm saying? And I could see the house where I was living. The church is here. I could see the house there. And across the street, what I had to look forward to that night, y'all, was what they down there call a hobo hut. It was literally some cardboard boxes put together on the side of the railroad tracks behind the labor pool. That was home. That's what I was leaving to call home, and I gladly accepted it. For $25? Come on. Why are we here? Why are we here? You know, because I ain't by myself. I ain't by myself. You know, and we need to know that. See, we identify with each other. That's why we're here. It's that unwritten, that, come on, man, not sympathy. What is that? Empathy. One addict helping another is without parallel. You may not know where I come from or where I'm going or where I've been, but damn it, we feel some of the same stuff. And you need to know that, regardless what you see. If you see some of them, like she was talking about, the big whoever's, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I'm trying to keep this thing clean. You know what I'm saying? But straight up, fuck them. Keep coming. Keep coming. Bring your ass here. Plant your ass in one of these seats. Keep coming. All right? Plant your ass in one of these seats, and your mind will catch up. I'm telling you, because I was one of those people that was helpless, yes, homeless, yes, hopeless. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. By the grace of God, come on, man, I just celebrated 10 years the past Friday. You know what I'm saying? God chose to save, you know, who else? I can't even tell you how things began to take place. But I know at that last treatment center, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, over the years, God has put people in my life. I've met people. And I've kept in contact with those people. Because, you know, over those 11 years from April of 86 to April of 97, like I said, I've had moments of clarity, you know? Some I think I'm clean time. Some waiting to use time. You know, and God placed those people in my life, man, that said, you know what, I love you. Regardless. Keep bringing your greasy ass on to the, you know, until this thing catch on. That's why we're here. Because we're indebted. We're indebted to pass this thing on. I don't care what form you do it. What form of service. If it's meetings. You know what I'm saying? My job, you know, we talk about social acceptability, not equal in recovery. But you know what? My God spared me. I'm back in the street every day, day in, day out. I exchange dirty needles for clean needles. You know what I'm saying? I seek folk when they come in every morning, sick as a dog. And if you did dope, you know, nose running, ass popping, it's time to, you know, that hit that wake them up out of, that won't let them sleep, won't let them stay still, gotta have it. You know? We got one guy, we call him the Miracle Man. He in a wheelchair. If he see a customer down the street, he hop up out that wheelchair and run. Hop up out that wheelchair and run, you know. Before I came on vacation, he was going to lay it down. Had an abscess on his back like that. You know, this thing works. Ain't no other way I can tell you. No other way I can tell you. In addition to the God of my understanding allowing me to work in a situation like that, he's also blessed me with my own business. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You know, I mean, listen, the message is hope. The promise is freedom. Freedom from active addiction. The obsession and the compulsion to use drugs. All right? We ain't promised that house on the hill. We ain't promised that stuff. But if that's what you want, you can get it. You know what I'm saying? I just did a party a couple weeks ago, a 50 Cent's house. All right? I hobnob with every major recording artist that's out there. You know, I do shows. I'm whatever. You know, it's work now. It was cute at first. It really was. You know what I'm saying? Now, just like I sat there fighting sleep, I sit right next to 50 and fall asleep. What he eat don't make me rich. You know what I'm saying? What he does don't affect me. It's a day at the job. It's another day at the office. You know? But if that's what attracts you, keep coming. Keep coming, because, yo, man, we may come in here society's best, you know, pimps, pushers, hoes, you know. Come on, man. But you stick and stay. Players, playees, played. You know what I'm saying? And something happens along the way. Something happens along the way. As long as you just don't use. If you just don't use for today, we deal with tomorrow when tomorrow come. Yo, do you hear me? We'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. Let go of that shit. Let go. You know, some real basic stuff. That's why we here. Maybe I won't say it. Maybe Nanette didn't say it. But maybe the next person you do hear will say something that clicks. That clicks, that you identify with, that your soul, that your very being grabs a hold to, and then you believe, like we know, you don't have to use no more. You know, just for today, just for today, I ain't gotta get high. you know. And then I can figure out what else I'm going to do with that money that I saved. Because I can fuck it up in a whole bunch of other ways. And that's another meeting, all right? That's the next topic. You know what I'm saying? That's a Listen. Yo, if you're here, give yourself a break. Plant your ass in one of these seats. Your mind will catch up. I'm Mark, I'm an addict.